Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork. Marcelo Palomino, welcome to Footwork.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Always start in the same way. We like to say make your own path here at Footwork. Pretty self-explanatory in it, but for someone who, you know, has kind of left the roots, gone abroad, and kind of has made a footing in Swedish soccer, what does make your own path mean to you?
I think it can mean a lot of things. For me, I think it means one of the biggest things that I think us as footballers kind of come across, or a problem that we face sometimes, is comparing ourselves to other people's paths and other people's careers. And there's a famous quote, and I can't remember who said it, but that says that comparison is a thief of joy. And I think about that a lot, because I find myself sometimes comparing the way my career has played out to others. And sometimes I think maybe I was fortunate in some situations, but I think it only leads to just kind of being negative about things. And it's good to just kind of take a step back and realize that regardless of where you are, I think it's a privilege to be able to play and to be able to do what you love. And I think everything plays out differently for everyone. So, you know, to not compare yourself to others and to just make sure that you're your best every single day.
Brilliant. Who are you? Where were you? And where are you going?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Who am I? Where am I? What was it?
Where were you and where are you going?
Who am I? Ooh. And you told me there was no hard questions. It's such a simple one. That was really hard.
Who am I? It's only as deep as you make it.
It's as deep as you make it. You could just say your name.
Okay, and... I got you. Okay. I thought we were going like deep with this. Okay, no.
No, however you want. Marcelo Some Palomino. People do.
Yeah.
No, Marcelo Palomino. I'm a footballer, a Colombian American, and I am from Houston, Texas. Now in Sweden. What was the last one? Man, I feel like
where
I
are you going?
Where am I going? Oof. Similar to the questions, wherever I guess I decide I want to go. So as much work as I put in, it'll be shown, and I think it's all up to me.
Coming back to your answer for the make your own path, just kind of on this topic of comparing yourselves, because it comes up a lot when we talk with guests, and I think it's so easy to do. And as someone who has already reached the heights that you are, like, we would have guests who would be kind of in that same position where they're seeing your career and they're saying, if only I could be playing in the Super Etan in the Swedish second tier. And sometimes, maybe obviously not always, but sometimes you may struggle and say, oh, this guy's playing at this level. If only I could be at this level. And it's such an interesting thing. I think it's like a ladder of it where we can't help but think, of course, we always want to strive for more, but we can't help but think, if only I was in this position right now. Do you feel like do you struggle with that often, or is it kind of one of these things that have gotten better with over time, or how is that process?
I think it's something I've definitely gotten better with. I, if I'm being honest, I had like a pretty easy youth career where everything just kind of went my way and I was doing well and didn't face much adversity. And I think then when I finally did, when I became, a professional and, things changed and it wasn't the same anymore, like it wasn't the academy or the youth national team and stuff, then it kind of hit me a little harder than maybe some others, because I wasn't used to that adversity or having to really fight for a spot, or, then it became like, this is, you know, I have to provide and I have to, you know, it's about not that money is the most important thing, but in a way, it becomes a bit about that because,
It's
you
your
know, I'm
life,
not
yeah.
living with my parents anymore. And, you know, I'm out here by myself. So I think it's something that I've definitely gotten better with. And I think, like you said, just like I see used to see other people's position and say, well, why can't I be there? Or like maybe get jealous of it or whatever. I'm sure there's also others that can see it that way for me. And so just taking a step back and being appreciative of where I am now and knowing that where I am now is the best place for me to be right now. And if I were meant to be somewhere else right now, then I'd probably be somewhere else. But I have a Christian background, and so I believe a lot in like my faith and God and stuff. And I believe in what I just said, that like you are where you're supposed to be in this very moment. And I think my job here right now, where I'm at, is to learn as much as I can, is to learn from where I am and to just get better.
Yeah. And speaking of where you're at now, this is your second season in the Swedish second tier with Sundsvall. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, seems well, yeah.
Yeah. And how are you feeling
National.
entering the new season? Yeah, it's not bad. And what about any personal goals you have for the season?
I feel really good about this season. The team looks very good. There's great players in every position. And I think we have what it takes to have a really good season. And some goals for me is obviously collectively it's for us to promote. And I think we have the team and the club to do it. And then also on the personal side is to have more goals and assists than I did last year. And then also to just grow and find new things out about myself. And to just elevate my game to another level.
We asked this question to Johan Gomez as well, because as attacking players, it's so easy to kind of reflect on games in terms of how you did is the relationship with goals and assists. So do you feel like sometimes you think too much about the statistics, or do you feel like you have a good relationship where you can say, no, I had a good game even if I didn't have a goal or an assist?
No, I think I have a pretty good understanding that like it's not always about that, especially maybe I guess the higher up it can be a little bit more about that. Maybe for like strikers or forwards and me as a number 10, it can be about that. You know, you're supposed to, at the end of the day, it's your job to be the ones helping produce the goals and stuff. So it has, I think, is very important, obviously. It's how you win games, right? Scoring goals and stuff. But then I look at like my favorite player is Iniesta, and he's not someone who scores a bunch or, you know, has a bunch of assists. Maybe like De Bruyne or something, who's like assisting twice every game almost, it feels like. So and how he's still able to have that impact and have you know, that status of being so great, and you know, he's not really known for scoring or for assisting like that, but he's able to impact the game almost just as much by just the way he plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You seem like an ambitious player in terms of like the goals that you're kind of setting forward. Is it important for you to align yourself with a club who has similar goals? Because you kind of talk about how hopefully there's promotion this year. Was that important for you when kind of deciding to join this new club?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to be somewhere where we're winning and we're competing and stuff. And I think I'm somewhere where we will be doing that. And also, I think it's, you know, I can't imagine it being a great idea to go somewhere where, you know, you want something and the club wants something else, having that conflict. So I think it's a good thing that I'm here because we have the same kind of vision for the team and for me.
Yeah. And before discussing your transition to Sweden, you actually got a few minutes in the MLS, then played USL Championship, then played MLS Next Pro. What went into your decision to leave the US and head to Europe?
When my contract finished with Houston, I knew that it was either going to be somewhere in the USL or like MLS Next. And like how you mentioned me playing those in those competitions already, I wanted to try something else and to go somewhere else just to try something new and to see, you know, grow in other areas. And it's always been my dream and my goal to play abroad in Europe, and to play in, you know, high leagues and high competitions. So then I, Nordic Sky, my agents who are big here in Scandinavia, got in touch with me and at that time. And they told me that they had an opportunity, or they could find me an opportunity somewhere in Scandinavia, most likely in like Sweden or something. And so I thought about it, but it was either, so it was either like going to the USL or going back to MLS next, or going abroad, second or third division, Sweden or Norway or something like this. So that's how that kind of came up. And then once Eskilstuna was the team I was at last year, once they came to the table, it was like a no-brainer for me to just take the decision and go.
And what were some of those expectations that you had for Sweden in terms of both on the field and off the field, and how did that compare to the reality?
I honestly, I didn't know what to expect. Sorry. I didn't know what to expect. The I didn't know much about Swedish football outside of like Malmö or, you know, these big clubs. And I never really watched it. As well as watching like the Prem or La Liga or, you know, top five leagues and Champions League and stuff. And although I'd been in a couple of different countries in Europe, I'd never been anywhere in Scandinavia. I knew it was going to be colder, and everyone kind of told me about that and stuff. So I didn't really know what to expect, but I think it's exceeded the expectations that I did have of it, of like, well, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. And like, what were some of those things that you witnessed at first in terms of the setup, in terms of the football, the coaching, maybe how the guys kind of welcomed you? Like what did you notice? What stood out to you?
I think football wise, it's very tactical here. There's a big emphasis on tactics and like being organized defensively, especially. And me as a number 10, I find a lot less space here than I did like back home in the States, where I think the game is much more open. You have more of these like transition kind of moments. And so I think it's a little bit more organized and a little bit more tactical, or there's a little bit more emphasis on the tactical side. And then also I didn't know what to expect from like personalities and like how the Swedish people were. Some people told me they were cold and stuff, and so like I said, I didn't know what to expect, but people here have been lovely, and I don't have anything bad to say about anything here besides the cold.
How did that change your, I mean, yeah, you told us off camera that 35 degrees was a warm day. You're changing, man. But speaking on kind of that tactical thing, you're saying I had more space in the US, and then here you can say maybe like they get behind the ball a little bit more. It's kind of tough as a number 10 to find those pockets of space in between the defense and the midfield. So how did you kind of combat that? So how did you improve your game in that sense to still be as effective without the same amount of space?
I think I also improved tactically, and just figuring out moments of when to make the kind of movement and figure out the timing of when to arrive in the space, when to make a double movement, or you know, when sometimes to get in front of the line, whether if I've gone, you know, a few minutes without getting the ball or whatever it may be. And also staying disciplined and not always coming to it and making sure I'm occupying that space, because then it opens up something for someone else. So, yeah, I think in that aspect, I've matured a lot and I've learned a lot. And I understand that I won't always get the ball. And I have to understand also that I'm going to get the ball a lot less than I would back home because of that, because of the playing style. But then that means that I also have to be a lot sharper, because I won't get these moments that I want to be in. And that's where I feel I excel. Yeah. And where I feel I play the best is when I get the ball behind that midfield line, going at the defense, and then, you know, being the one to take the decision, take a guy on, slip someone through, take a shot or whatever. And so I think it's also made me a little bit sharper in that aspect, knowing that I'm not going to always get these key moments.
Looking back at your first season, what are some of the difficulties that stand out in your mind, playing your first season in Europe?
I know I've already mentioned the cold a bunch, but I didn't realize like how different it is to kick a ball when like your foot's
Realize
frozen.
how cold it was.
Yeah, exactly. I remember my first couple weeks of training last year, we were training outside. And it's snowing and it's super cold, and like I feel like I had never kicked a ball before. Like I couldn't get any power on it and whatever. And it seems like such a little thing, but actually has like a big difference. It makes a big difference. But then also feeling the pressure of last year my team got relegated. We got relegated. So feeling that pressure of playing for something at the end of the season, even if you're at the bottom of the table. When I was in Houston, we weren't doing too well. We finished, don't remember where exactly, but where it would be like a relegation spot. And you know, at the end of the season, obviously no one's happy and stuff, but you don't have that pressure of having to continue to perform and continue to push because you're going to get relegated. Then now people lose jobs. You know, then you probably take a cut in your salary, and you're just playing in a lower division. And then also you think about the fans and stuff and the pressure from the fans. But I've lived that for the first time here. Last year, and what's the word? It's
It's
a
not
big
fun.
thing. Yeah, it's not fun. Not fun at all. It changes the mood and it changes the environment and everything.
I mean, it's like you said, like of course in the US no one's happy to lose, you know. The competition is still high, but when you add in those other factors, especially in Europe, when you have like these smaller cities sometimes and how important the club is to everyone around and people are employed there, and when you go down, like that's the reality of it, is less money is there. So people might lose their jobs. It becomes like you kind of spoke about moving abroad and you know, you're not with your parents anymore. It becomes bigger than it is. This is like another time where it's bigger than it is. Like, of course, you are kicking a ball at the end of the day, but it's at times it's so much bigger than that. There's so much more involved.
What about in Sweden in general, living there? What was maybe an unexpected, well, I guess you mentioned that you didn't really know what to expect, but just living outside of football, let's talk outside of football. How was it adjusting to living in Sweden?
I think I had a pretty smooth move or pretty smooth I guess transition to living here. And last year the whole team lived in the same complex, so it was easy to just go to someone's place and have that company or whatever it was. And at times it did obviously get very lonely, missing my family, my girlfriend, whatever it was. I learned to also deal with that and to kind of manage those emotions and to understand that, like, use that as fuel, because like I'm not over here to mess around or to have a good time or whatever it is, because I could do that anywhere. I could do that back home, being with my family or whatever it may be. I mean, outside of football, it's been good. Obviously, it was tough at the beginning, not being able to go to a Walgreens to get something or a Walmart or something, a Target. I didn't know where to get certain things, and
I was
but
gonna
then
say the
over
food's
time,
got to be a lot different than Houston too. As someone who's been in Sweden, that food is a little different than Houston.
Luckily, I'm not a picky guy, and I actually really enjoy the IKEA
IKEA meatballs, yeah, man,
meatballs.
that's a
So,
staple. A lot of potatoes, a lot of
yeah,
fish, right? A lot of those kinds of things.
a lot of potatoes.
A lot of potatoes, yeah. I mean, this is, I mean, anywhere in some northern European countries, potatoes is everywhere.
Everywhere.
It can be quite difficult too. I mean, this is your first time away from home. It's kind of extended that way too. How do you find, like, have your parents been able to come out and your family and things like that?
Yeah, my parents came maybe two or three times last year. They
nice.
stay for like 2 to 3 weeks at a time, and it's amazing. Growing up, they would never miss a game. If both of them can be at the game, at least one of them would be. So playing now and not having them in the stands or in the crowd or something, it feels different. So whenever they're here, man, it just feels like old times again, and it feels really good. But yeah, luckily they're able to come and see me, and I can kind of refuel and get a little energy from that as well. And then yeah,
and then back to the grind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
So speaking about coming back onto the field, I want to talk a little bit about this, like coming into like a flow state when you're playing. So trying to be the best player and just being comfortable. Do you find yourself at times like you can realize when you're in that flow state where everything's coming easily and you are connecting with passes, you're finding the right spaces, you're not really getting so tired as much, as opposed to maybe sometimes when it's a more difficult game or you're more in your head, or maybe some things are going a little bit difficult off the field and you're not as comfortable on the field? Do you feel when you're in and when you're out of that kind of state of playing?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a big thing, or I guess a big factor in that, is confidence. Because you're not a worse player than you were the week before, or you're not worse than, 2 weeks ago or whatever. And sometimes you can have like a drastic change in games. And I think it has a lot to do with confidence, because you can do the same things you could do, 7 days ago in the game before.
Yeah.
But and maybe they came off that game, maybe you're feeling a little bit better, and maybe you messed up your first pass in this game, or there was a weird bounce in the pitch, and now your next action you're thinking about or whatever, and now you want to play safe, whatever it may be. So I think a lot of it has to do with confidence. But yeah, you could definitely tell when things are going well, and when you you want to get the ball again, you want to do something. For me, as a number 10, that's a huge, to be able to feel that way, because, I find myself many times in those positions where I have to kind of pull something off creative, or have to do that. So for us, it's key. What position do you guys play, by the way? I didn't ask.
Good question.
Yeah. So
I'm
a
center back or center midfielder, outside back as well, but I'd say center back in the midfield as well.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm center mid as well. So 6, 8, 10, depending on the team. I played more, probably the most 8 in my life, kind of box to box. But definitely as like midfielders, we can totally understand, because your bread and butter is getting on the ball, which requires confidence, because you can lose it a lot, but you also make things happen. So it's that balance of not being afraid to make the mistakes, but also being selective with what you do. It's a very difficult balance. Do you have tricks or tips for yourself mentally to kind of maybe shake off low confidence moments? Maybe you lose a ball, maybe you make a mistake, to say, no, get back on the ball, like do me again.
Yeah, if I'm being, I'll start off with this. I was given a tip a long time ago when I was much younger, to start the game off with, a simple pass. Your first couple actions, if you come into a game as a sub, start it off with a simple pass, connect your passes, do a couple just simple things that build your confidence. And then now you can start to ramp it up. If you come in, or if you start the game and you're trying to do something and it doesn't come off, now you're hesitant to do it again, or to now when the moment arrives that you have to, maybe you won't pull it off because you're thinking about what happened or thinking about what can't happen now. So I think just before you get to that point where you mess up, I think you try to build your confidence with an easy action, or with a couple, and then you can start to, try off these harder things. And then also, I think when it does happen, this is something that I actually struggle with getting over actions, because I demand so much for myself, but to the point where sometimes it can be a little unhealthy, because sometimes I go into games or in trainings thinking like it has to be a perfect game. And then now when I mess up, then my goal that I set for myself is over, and there's nothing I can do to fix it.
Yeah.
So, and this is actually something that I spoke about with a friend of mine back home who is a sports psychologist, who I would advise to anyone to, speak to someone, because I used to think you only speak to someone like that when you had a problem or if like you were depressed or something. But then I realized once I spoke with her that it's not about that. It's just about, whatever it is that you need or whatever it is that you want to talk about, get off your chest, or just to learn new things. And one of the things she told me was to not go into games thinking that you're going to have a perfect game. Go into it not, and there's, I guess, a fine margin, because you don't want to like be okay with making mistakes, but you also have to accept that it's not going to go perfect. You're going to lose a couple balls, and you might even lose simple ones that you shouldn't lose. But now when it happens, you knew it was going to happen. So now you're prepared to get over it and to prepare to deal with it. So I think that's huge. And it's something that I put into practice, and something that I feel has helped me immediately.
It's such a good point. Like, you, as much as we want to be perfectionists as athletes who are always striving for more, perfectionism is just not a realistic goal, because that can't, I mean, maybe on one of these Barcelona teams, someone had 100% pass accuracy, like a center back who's passing left and right. But the whole point of the game is to do better than you did before. And I feel like you can't have that mindset of, it's like, I always think about golf, and it's always, if you hit a bad shot, how quickly can you get over it? Because the next shot is the shot that's the most important. And I feel like that translation is very key, where if you make a mistake, not necessarily how can I rectify it, but okay, I have to be back in the best state of mind to not repeat that. And if I'm thinking about the mistake that I did as a player, I find that if I'm thinking, oh, I just made a mistake, like, fuck, I got to do better now, it doesn't help me to do better. And in fact, I feel like maybe I'm trying too hard, or now I'm thinking about it. When we're our best players, I'm sure we all agree, when we're in that flow state. So it's like just getting over it, and just like, not that it didn't happen, because of course we don't want to make mistakes, but in that sense, like, it didn't happen. Now I have to come back to whatever that state is. It's a difficult balance, though. It definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think, I couldn't agree more with what you said also. For us midfielders, and for creative players also, like you said, you feel best when you're in that flow state. And if I definitely feel best whenever I'm able to pull these things off, or whenever I'm able to play freely and not have to think so much about things and just let kind of my instincts take over. If I'm thinking about the last player, the last mess up I had, now I'm playing a little safer, which can be okay, but now I'm not playing how I play best, or how I can, attribute to the team in my best way possible. So I think it's really important in every position. Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just think too, it's like taking calculated risk and understanding that it's not always going to come off. Yeah. Especially as a 10 like you, as a creative player, that's part of, it's part of the position, is to make things happen.
Yeah, like, and he has the responsibility to make those chances. Right. Yeah,
exactly. And to understand too, as an opponent of someone, the worst thing you want is someone that tries something but is going to keep trying. Maybe not, he's going to say it's a simple mistake, but you know that next time he's going to get the ball, he's dangerous again. And it's like, if you look at the best players in the world, that's what they do. It's like, they do it, and then if they mess up, it's like emotionless, and they just get the ball again and they try again.
Right.
And like you said, okay, in between, you can make a few simple passes just to get your confidence back up. But either way, it's the most dangerous when it's someone who's just nonstop and he's relentless at trying to make things happen.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, I think the perfect example of this, and he can be a bit of a polarized player, is Bruno Fernandes. Like, he will try the most difficult passes. He will lose it. And sometimes as when you're watching, you're like, why, what is he doing? Why is he going for that? But he keeps going with that again. He keeps going because that's his game. And he definitely, as a coach, I'm sure some coaches would not like to have Bruno Fernandes in his team for the risks. But if that's the player that you know you want and you're signing, he relentlessly will get the ball again and try it again. And like Sean says, it's a good, I think that's a good like trick too, is to kind of sometimes think how the defender will think. Like if you think I just lost this ball, now the defender thinks like I'm scared, then he's got you right where he wants you.
Right.
But if
right.
you're like, nah, yeah. fuck that, I'm going again, then you still can have the upper hand on the defender. It's a cool, that's a cool little trick, Sean. It's tough though.
Yeah.
It's easier. Yeah. It's a lot easier said than done. It's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So do you have any other kind of tips or anything that you think would be good from maybe not necessarily your conversations with the sports psychologist, but just kind of ways that they've helped you to kind of see the game differently that you might be able to pass on to players?
Yeah, I think, a big one, it doesn't necessarily have to do with on the field stuff, but a really big one is what we mentioned at the very beginning was don't compare yourself to others. Everyone runs different races. Maybe where they are now is further ahead than where you are, but we don't know where we're going to end up. Maybe in a year it's flipped or whatever. So I think just to run your own race, not worry about what has happened for others that hasn't happened for you, because the same thing can be said for someone else about you.
Right.
So I think that's a really big one. And then on the field things, I think the biggest one I could give is probably just for me, if I use myself as an example, I think the team that I'm at now, and they've told me the reason that they, one of the main reasons that I'm here is because of what I bring offensively and because of the creativity that I have. So if I shy away from that, I know I'm not being the player that they wanted me to be. And at the same time, I have that confidence knowing that I can try to do these things and I can mess up and I can do it again and keep trying, because that's what they want. That's the reason I'm here. Similar to what you said with Bruno Fernandes. It might not work for another coach, but the reason he's not United and the reason that they brought him in there was because they wanted someone to do that. And the reason that he's still there anyways, because he came before or whatever. So if not, they would find someone else or try to replace him or whatever it is. So I think confidence is a huge thing. And then also, if you could speak to someone about anything, you don't, it's, you know, speaking to someone is not because you're weak mentally, or it's not because you have a problem necessarily. It's just to get things from a different perspective and to get things from a perspective of someone who studies this and who really knows and can really help you.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think, like, just like you said, it doesn't have to be these things. I think are left sometimes too late, and when there is a problem, and it doesn't always have to be problem solving. It can just help in certain ways and help you see it a different way. And it's just learning. It's just growth in the end. And I think we're all kind of synonymous in our ways of, we're just trying to become better players and better people.
Right.
And a problem doesn't have to occur for you to try that. It can, can just come from curiosity and just taking the step to just try and contact someone. Or, I mean, this network as players, it's good too, because like, I think there's a lot more players like yourself who are just saying like, you know, maybe there was the stigma to it, but like, this is so normalized now. And I think it's a good thing for us to share in the space that it just, it doesn't need to be a problem that starts it. Just
For sure.
Start it yourself and see if it helps you and see if it's for you.
Yeah, for sure. And another tip that I'd like to give, something that helps me out anyways, is what was it? I was just thinking about it. It left my head. Well, I was just thinking about it. To not always kind of think about, or to many times stop thinking about the future so much and about where you want to end up and stuff. It's good to obviously have these long-term goals. You need them and you should have them. But I think just as important, sometimes maybe even more important, is focusing on the here and the now. So something that's helped me a lot is, instead of thinking so much and like, oh, I want to play here, I want to make it here, or this and that, I just focus on, okay, today I'm going to make sure that I'm doing whatever it is I need to do to be the best version of myself, to be as a person and also as a footballer. What can I do right now that's going to help me on the pitch? What can I do now that's going to help me perform better? Should I be drinking more water? Should I be eating better? Should I not eat this? And then the same thing when I wake up or when I go to training the next day is not to necessarily think about the game on the weekend so much, but making sure that I'm going to be the best today in training that I can possibly be. Then I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to reach your goals or you're going to go somewhere better. Maybe you won't exactly reach all the way to where you want it to be, but you're for sure going to be in a better spot. There's no doubt in my mind. If you focus on today and you do your best today, the only way you're going to go is up.
Yeah, that's great advice. And ultimately, that is the only thing you can control is the current situation. And by thinking about the future and not doing what you're supposed to do in the now, you're never going to get to that place because in order to get to that place, you have to perform in the current situation. So it's like a little catch 22 that players or people can just get caught in with the goal setting. It's great to have an aim. Like we say here, have a direction, not an endpoint. It's like you want to head towards that place. But ultimately, like you said, just becoming a better player and a better person, you'll get to that point, wherever that point may be, whether that's the Premier League or that's whatever it is, the MLS, whatever it is, time will tell. And of course, in football too, there's a lot of luck involved and timing. So it's even if you might be better than some players that say made it to XYZ team, it was just a timing thing. And that's also part of the game is and that you can't control that. That's out of your control. But what you can do is the little things. Exactly. How are you hydrating? What are you eating? How'd you train today? How'd you do on the weekend? How are you going to play better next weekend? Incremental gains. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And those are hard to define and they're hard to track and they're hard to say like, oh, I'm making progress, but it comes like you said, like, you know, it will come when you are setting aside to do those things. And then if you don't do those things, it's only yourself to blame. And that's, it comes back to what can you control? Because there's football is a game of opinions, a game of luck. Like Sean said, it's a game of timing, but what you can control is trying to become the best version of yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
I want to come back a little bit to some of this time before Europe. So you did get a little bit of time in MLS. I think you played in 3 games. So, I mean, your debut coming on, I don't know, did you start in your first one or did you come off the bench in the first game?
No, I came off the bench in all 3.
But, I mean, even so, getting a debut in the MLS, what did that kind of mean for you in terms of maybe one of the first, like, I've made it moments?
It meant a lot. It meant a lot. That year was my rookie year. Those 3 games were all in the same year at the end of my first year as a professional. And it meant a lot because I had gone through a lot of ups and downs that season. It was my first season as a professional and getting used to how different it is and getting used to new things and the way things are done at the professional level. And it was really just an exciting moment, really a breathtaking moment. Obviously, being from Houston and being able to represent my team that I was at for 10 years or something. It was amazing, and having my family also in the crowd to see. So it was, I mean, one of the best days of my life that I still think about to this day. And also I did well, so that was the cherry on top.
What did that time do for your development as a player?
Did a lot. I think because I did well, I was able to kind of see that, like, okay, I'm meant for this. You know, it's not something super out of reach. And it's something achievable, you know, and I could keep doing this 100%. And so I think it was huge for my confidence because the whole year, although I would do well in training, the game is a different thing. And playing now in the MLS, actual minutes is a different thing. So I didn't know what it'd be like, and I didn't know, you know, sometimes you can doubt a little bit, like, I wonder if, you know, I'd be good enough or whatever it is. Getting on the field and seeing that I was good enough changed everything for me.
it's always good as footballers to have that little like test moment, and then it says like, no, I deserve to be here.
For sure.
What about, I mean, in terms of it was a confirmation to show that you're good enough, but then the next year they loaned you out to Charlotte Independence in the USL. Did it feel like this was a step back because you sort of had a slight chance, or they gave you a little bit of a chance in the MLS, or did you feel that the game time was the best thing for you?
It was at the beginning when the idea was first presented to me, it felt definitely like a step back because I felt I was good enough to play in MLS. I thought I had showed it. And again, the most important thing was that I knew I was good enough. I felt anyways. And so at the very beginning, when the idea was first presented to me by the coach and the general manager, I thought it was a step back. But then after the season played out and after the way things went and how much I learned, how much I grew being away from home again, living on my own, and being a key player for the team at the time, I played, I think, every game except one where I got hurt. And then the playoffs, unfortunately got hurt for, so I didn't get to play those. But just being in that kind of environment where I got to be one of the main guys and I got to play the majority of the minutes, I think it was huge for me. And then again, we go back to the thing of being away from home, being alone. I was able to grow a lot. And then it gave me that confidence to go into the next year and do well. But it was definitely at the beginning, it felt like a step down, especially because at the beginning of my rookie season, before the MLS started in the preseason, I was actually starting. Like, I was in the starting team just before the season started. And leading up to the first game of the season, I picked up an injury, like, in my hamstring / lower back on the Wednesday before the Saturday game. And, like, it was really frustrating, and, like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And just everything was going through my head. But luckily, it wasn't anything too major. It was going to be out for, like, 2 weeks, and then I'm back in. So then we played the first two games. And then now I'm coming back. Obviously, I wasn't going to start immediately again. But now I'm in the plans again to play. And we're going to play Seattle Sounders at home. And then they're one of the first teams to get like the first COVID case or whatever in the MLS. So then that got canceled. And then the season got put off for a while. So it was a really, really tough time for me because I felt I was this close to, I mean, I had the starting spot at the beginning. Didn't get to play, obviously. And then now you think about it, I went, I think, 7 months without having a single minute in the MLS after that. Even when we came back, obviously not including the time that we were away and stuff, must have been maybe 5 months, 4 months without getting a single minute after being in the starting lineup. So I went through a lot of different kind of emotions, and that's just like kind of an overview of some of the ups and downs I went through. So then once I started playing, or once I got those first couple minutes, I felt like, okay, now I'm back. Now I'm going to, you know, now I'm going to be playing. Now I'm going to be where I was supposed to be. And then the start of the new season is coming, preseason, or just before preseason, I'm killing it with the first team. And I'm like, this is my year. And then they tell me they want me to go on loan because they don't want me to fight for minutes. They want me to have like more sure minutes and they think it's going to be best for my development. And so that's why I say that, like, I felt like it was a step down because I knew with everything in my body, I knew that I could fight for minutes and I could win them. But then after speaking with my parents and getting different people's opinions, and I mean, at the end of the day, if they wanted me to go on loan, it was probably best that I go on loan. So because if, not that they didn't want me there, but if their plans were for me to not be there for that season, if I'm there, then I probably wouldn't be included in many things how I'd want to be. But if I had to do it over again, I mean, I would go on loan again. I think I learned so much from it.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Especially if you kind of look back at it like that. And like you said, I think a lot of the times it's kind of where you're meant to be. And maybe at that point you were just meant to have that development and meant to have maybe carry a little bit more of the load, and learn a little bit more about yourself away from home. Did you feel like after that USL championship season that like you would have a chance to kind of return and get that spot?
Absolutely. My I was actually going to get recalled during the season because I was doing very well, starting every game, and I was having a big impact in the USL. And I guess they were seeing some of the things that they wanted to see from me. At the same time, the team back home or Houston wasn't doing too well. So I think playoffs was kind of out of the picture at the time, and they were going to bring me back home, call me back. But with Charlotte, we were doing very well. We had a very, very strong team. And we were, I think, maybe top three in our division, or sorry, our conference. So we were going to playoffs, and the coach thought it was best that I stayed over here, or sorry, over there, and got that playoff experience that I ended up getting injured for and didn't really get to experience much. But
tough timing for you.
Yeah, and you know, that's obviously when everything's going well for you and everything is, you know, you're just doing this. Yeah.
Constantly rising.
You don't have, you're not going to be comparing yourself, but it's in those times, it's in those tough times where now it's so easy to say like, why the heck does this happen to me? And like, how come others have like a, just such a smooth kind of uprising or whatever it may be, not facing as much adversity, which by the way, you only see the very top of what they're going through.
Exactly.
But it's in those times where it's so easy to start comparing and start, saying those things.
Yeah. But do you feel like these ups and downs, these injuries, these poor timings, these sometimes rejections and also other times growth, do you feel like that has made you into a player who can get through more, who can withstand the challenges and come out on the other side of, you know, what may face you in the next 10 years, 15 years, however long you play in this game?
Yeah, absolutely. I think without those things, let's say my first season, before I learned all those kind of things of what the professional life is like, and before going through all those ups and downs, how I said that like my youth career was so kind of like just smooth and didn't face any adversity. I think if straight from my youth career, I went to, came to here abroad and kind of had to spend this time alone and this, you know, face these difficulties, I don't think I would have been able to stay. I probably would have been too weak in a way to get through the things that I had to go through here. But luckily and fortunately, because, you know, I already went through some painful and some tough things.
Yeah.
It obviously it makes you stronger and you learn new things and you learn to kind of see things a little bit differently. And then now you know how to deal with them. And even if it's not the same exact situation, you have a better understanding of how to deal with adversity. So I think it's already shown and it's already helped me so much. And I think it's only going to continue to help me. Of course, the new adversities I face will help me for the new years that are coming.
It's just getting new armor, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's always a difficult question to compare leagues in different countries, but how would you compare the USL Championship to the Superettan?
I think... what I mentioned earlier about the tactics and about how much space there is, that's the biggest difference for me. It is hard a little bit because of just it being different leagues and different styles. You're also playing a different style against a different style. So
exactly.
It is a little bit difficult, but at the same time, I don't know if I have like a right way to gauge it because and when I was with Charlotte, I feel like we were running through everybody, like because of the team we had. So, and then last year, my first year here, we struggled a bit. We ended up getting relegated. So, I don't have like a fair kind of comparison. Whereas in one year we're, you know, at the top and we're beating everyone or whatever, and then the next year we're kind of taking the beating. So, that could, I guess, that will definitely, I guess, kind of impact my decision or but how I see it. But I think the biggest thing is just that the amount of space and the amount of like emphasis on the tactics and stuff is a lot more here.
Yeah. Great. And reflecting on the journey right now, what things would you say helped you to get to this moment? So in other words, why did Marcelo make it as a pro and why is he still going?
My family, I think. My parents did everything possible for me to have every tool that I could possibly need, from their support to just being able to kind of go anywhere or whatever it may be. And then also my brother, because he's 5 years older than me, and I would train with him a lot. And obviously, I learned certain things from training with him. Obviously, he's 5 years older, and when you're younger, the 5 years is a big difference. And then also, he's a very disciplined and very organized person. And I'm better now, but I would say I was the complete opposite of that. Very undisciplined, and I remember all the time we would go train and stuff, but I would only go because he would go. You know, in the summers, like instead of going to do fun things with friends, he was training. And so I wanted to be like him, of course. So what am I doing? I'm going with him to go train. I'm going with him to go run around the neighborhood, to get touches on the ball, whatever it may be. And I didn't realize until recently, like, how much that helped me. I was just doing what he did and, you know, wanting to be like him. And I ended up, I didn't realize how much I was actually training and getting better because of his lifestyle, because of the way he was. So I owe a lot to my family. And then also, that's the biggest thing for me is, they helped me a lot.
And why are you still going? Do you think that's also a big part of the answer?
Definitely. That's definitely a big part of the answer. And because I think it's probably what I'm best at, if I'm being honest.
That's good that you're doing the thing you're best at.
Yeah. And it's what I love the most. So it's a good combo to have, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We'll lighten the mood. We'll go into some fast feet questions, some quick fire to end off. First one, I think we already heard the answer, but favorite player growing up?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you a different one then. I can name like five that I
rattle them off.
I'm a Real Madrid fan, but my favorite players are Barcelona players.
Well, that's conflicting.
Yeah. Like Iniesta, Messi, like Neymar growing up. Also Luka Modric. And I would say someone that I really, really like right now, is Phil Foden. I think he's incredible. And he's kind of got that, like, he's obviously a creative kind of player. He's not like a big guy, and how he's able to play in such a physical league, but have that kind of a flair to him. And just, he's super silky, in my opinion.
So silky, yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite moment in football?
I want to say my debut, but that's a cop out. That's too easy, I feel like.
That's a good answer.
It's between that and my first goal, but I think that debut was more special. A little more special.
How about most difficult moment in football?
I can name 100. goodness. I mean, I think that moment that we talked about with like the injuries and I didn't really have like huge, like 2 month injuries, but it was just enough to kind of throw things off.
The timing.
Yeah. I think, It was the timing. So I would say that.
Best advice you ever received?
Stop comparing myself to others.
Yeah. Best player you ever played with and against?
Oh, man. With, I think I have to say Hector Herrera. And against, at the time, it was Curtis Jones, but Bukayo Saka was also on the team. But Curtis Jones was better at the time, and I thought. But obviously now it's Saka, so I don't know, between one of the two.
Was this in the USA, like youth camps and stuff?
Yeah, we played England a few times.
Wow, how was that?
Special moments incredible. With them? Yeah, yeah, they were incredible. I actually scored in the same game Saka did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but we played them several times, and them and France were just incredible.
Yeah. France is deep. If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
I think I'd be... I like cars. I'm not like a super car enthusiast or anything, but like I do like cars, and I think I like stuff that has to do with like building things or just mechanical stuff, so something along those lines.
Do you have a favorite book? And if you're not a reader, a favorite podcast maybe?
I'm not too big of a reader, but I did start reading last year. It was a Christian book. It's called Kingdom Men. I don't even remember. I'm getting exposed now. No, but yeah, it'd probably be that one. I've gotten a lot of great advice, and it's actually a good one even for like non-Christians. I think there's just so many good values in there.
Awesome.
Any quote or mantra that you live by?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
There we go. Comes back to it. I love it. We started it and we ended the podcast with it. That's full circle moment.
And I have one point too about the comparison. We didn't talk about this, but Dylan and I don't know if we, either way it came to us, is that the comparison thing. So when you see a player that, say you played within the same team, say a national camp, and he's playing in the Prem and you where you are, you can flip that situation to why is he there, not me? Or you can say that since he's there, that's confirmation that I could also be there. And the timing of it just hasn't worked out because maybe I played on the same team as him and I always performed better than he did. So it's not that
everyone's route is just different too. Like,
exactly. You know, it's just a different route to get there.
So you get somewhere better. It does, you know, or.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's happened several times to me. Obviously being on the national team, I played with very, very good players and players who maybe at the time weren't maybe like you didn't see them going where they are now.
Yeah.
And other players who you thought would kind of go straight up to the top who aren't exactly there. So yet anyways. It's also great to be able to have that, like you said, as a like, well, if they could do it, then I could do it too. That's awesome that you mentioned that, because you don't see it that way many times. Many times you're just a little bit jealous, so you're saying, why not me?
Exactly. But if you catch yourself, then it's the same situation. It's just looking at it differently.
Exactly.
And like, there's enough blessings to go around. So one player's blessings is not going to take away from your blessings, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Whatever you got coming is for you, and no one can take that from you except yourself. Exactly. If you're not doing what you need to be doing.
Exactly. Well, Marcelo, we want to thank you so much for coming on. This was a joy of a conversation to have. I thank you for, you know, opening up to us and, you know, taking us through the journey, the ups and the downs. I can't wait for people to hear this, and I can't wait to see with this attitude, with the things you've already learned, I can't wait to see where you bring yourself as a player and as a person. And yeah, we couldn't thank you enough for coming on.
No, thank you guys. I had a blast. I could talk for longer, but no,
we'll do a part two. Don't you worry.
Don't
worry. We'll come to Sweden. We'll come to wherever you are. We'll do that next one in person. It'll be nice.
Awesome. Auf geht's.
Yeah. Auf geht's.
Yeah. I was in Germany for a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, Tuxmaket. I had a blast, and I appreciate you guys having me on and considering me. So, good luck to you guys too, and yeah, I'll be looking forward to that part too.
So, another great conversation. It's two in a row, actually, two young Americans, both with the national team, youth national team for us, and making waves in Europe. It's cool to see that. He talked about it was kind of unlucky timing at Houston with injuries and then the COVID thing. And he knows he can play at the level, but he's chosen to jump to Europe to basically grow as a player and a person. And then it surely will lead to something something bigger and better. And I like to see that because it would have been easy to stay at Houston or stay in the MLS, stay in the USL Championship. But he chose to kind of make the jump.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need that. You need that kind of little recharge or reset, however you want to phrase it, however it is for him. And yeah, I mean, I think we touched on it a bunch of times throughout the episode. Just it's so easy to compare. And I made the point early is like, you know, he kind of alluded to the fact that maybe he might look at some players that he's played with and be like, you know, maybe I should be there, or, you know, like, why is my path not as easy as it seems for some? And first off, we never know how easy someone's path is. Someone could look at Marcelo's and say, oh, he's had it easy. He's gotten to the Superettan. He's gotten to the second tier in Sweden, but that's just not the case. He's had all of these injury setbacks, these bad timings. He's had these moments where he felt like he was ready for, you know, like after his debut and training well with Houston and still having those setbacks of having to go on loan and then coming back and, you know, things shutting down and just never really getting in that flow of getting consistent MLS games. I think he only came on for three. So I think it's easy for us to sit back and say, oh, you know, this path seems easy. Why isn't mine like that? Why isn't mine like that? And compare each other. And sometimes it could lead us to not be so grateful for where we are when you kind of look at it from an outside perspective. Like, I would love to play at the Superettan level. That will probably never happen for me just based on how my path has gone, you know? And some people would probably love to have played at the level I've played at, played in the games I've played at, and that might just not be possible for them. And I think it's just important, if you know you're putting in the work and you know you're doing the right things, to be grateful where you are, obviously striving for more, but grateful to know that, you know, like we always come back to, we're still kicking a ball and we're still playing at high levels and we're reaching levels that many never thought possible for us. And for him, I would think it's quite naive to say that he will never play higher than the Superettan. Like, he's so young. He's experienced such setbacks before that I think he's going to be ready to ride out wherever the road takes him. And yeah, we talked a little bit off camera too. Like, there's a lot of things that we didn't touch on. And, you know, I think it'll leave some space for an episode too, when we talked about trials that he's had in different countries in Europe and things like that. And that whole process, game of opinions, all the politics stuff that a lot of people don't see being non-EU, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we are excited, first off, to meet him. What a guy. And two, to, you know, see about part two. Like we say with a lot of these guys, and I think as footwork grows and we're going to do a lot of more in-person interviews, hopefully, that'll be fun to kick it in Sweden or Germany or wherever, and dive into some of those things that we didn't even get to touch on, because like we opened up for, what was this, an hour probably episode, and you think you know so much about a player and then you talk a little bit off camera and you're like, holy shit, there's still so much more to this story that we did not hear, which is crazy.
Which is exactly to your point. Like, you don't know a person's path. It seems like, oh, they had it easy to get there. It's a perfect example. We stop recording and then we talk a little bit off camera and realize that there is at least another episode's worth of just those topics to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect example of how you can't just kind of judge a book by its cover, because everyone has their own path and there's a lot of details that you don't know about, because they're not going to post about it. It's not going to be covered in the media. And it's between really the players and then his immediate family might know about it, and that's it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was great to talk to him.
I appreciate him opening up to us too. You know, like, the, I feel like it was an honest conversation. And I think those are important. We don't want to just give the highlight reels. You know, this is real life, and these are real people going through real things. And I think when we peel back the layers, you know, and kind of see how difficult this journey can be. Like, we encourage people to take these routes of going abroad and stuff, but the reality of it is it's difficult. And I think it's good to be honest about the difficulties. But another thing we also say is, if you experience that adversity kind of early in your career, it like sets you up for the years to come. You know, like I think, exactly. I just think he's ready to take on whatever at this point.
Yeah. Well said. Some housekeeping. What do we have to do?
Housekeeping.
Layover hoodie.
Housekeeping.
Still available.
Yeah, layover hoodie. Still a few.
We are getting some orders more. So that's the stock is slowly dwindling.
Yeah. But we got at least we got a lot. So, I mean, like to begin with. So it's been nice. Yeah. Some cool things that we're working on behind the scenes. I feel like this is every like podcast. Like, yo, just wait. Like, just not wait. Even us. Like, everyone does this kind of stuff. Like, yo, just wait, working on big shit. Like, but the video podcast soccer kind of world that we're operating in. Yeah, there's new, I guess, adventures and new content that we're going to be doing outside of podcast as well. Like, you guys have seen the mile videos and the YouTube stuff. So I think there will be more into that sphere and other spheres, some more artsy, some more kind of playful. Yeah, trying to think. Yeah, Footwork Media LLC. That's a fish. That's cool. Fish. You need video needs. Or media, you can hit us up. You can find us on our website too. You'll see that content creation. Click that little tingling.
I think that's it. We ended
that. That's all I got.
Good. So until next time,
keep moving forward,
keep learning,
and make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official Footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. And Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.